Hi. We're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 58 today. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, and animals have another. Birds have another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies. There are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and stars differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The dead that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of God.
What a great passage. Shall we pray as we look at it together? Father, we thank you for your word, for the clarity that you speak to us. We thank you, Lord, that we are not lost or left in the dark as to your plans for this world and for ourselves in the future. We pray, Lord, for your spirit to write these words in our hearts, that we would have great hope and joy and be filled with wisdom and understanding of the world that we live in and of our future. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Often we don't talk about death much. I think death can be a taboo subject. It's something that we don't talk about much. But if you've been to a funeral or you've had a friend who has passed away, often a lot of question comes up. A lot of questions come up. And what happens when a person dies? When we are in heaven, when we are in God's kingdom, will you be able to recognize your friends or your loved ones or your parents? Will you be able to see them and know who they are? What will they look like? What will we be able to do in heaven? Will we be able to eat? Can we drink? Will we be a spirit floating around? Or will we have a physical body? In this chapter, Paul deals with this question. He answers these sorts of questions. As we have been going through 1 Corinthians, you should know by now that the Corinthians had a very low view of the body. They felt that the soul was what mattered. The soul lasted for eternity. But the physical body, they had a low view of the body. They didn't feel that it mattered much. So in the first half of chapter 15, Paul reminds them of the gospel. The gospel is the good news, not only that Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the dead. And he rose from the dead with a physical body. In the second half of chapter 15, they ask this question, which he then goes on to answer. So this is the question that we're looking at. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? So when you look at when you've gone for a funeral, and if the coffin has gone into the incinerator, all that's left is just some remains, some ashes, a bit of remains of bones, and hence the question: with what kind of body will a person be raised? If all that's left are the remains, what's it going to be like? So Paul then says, it's not such a strange idea, this idea of a physical body, of these remains coming back to life. It's not such a strange idea. And he says it's not such a strange idea because we see it in nature. We see it in the world around us. Is this sort of battery dead? I'll get you all to push the slide. We see it in nature, isn't it? When you put a seed in the ground, the seed dies, and out of the death of the seed, there is life that springs up. It stops being a seed for there to be a plant. So if you put an apple seed in the ground, it works, thanks Brian. If you put an apple seed in the ground, out shoots out life, out shoots out an apple tree. It's still an apple. An apple seed has been transformed into an apple tree. So it's not too strange an idea. And it's going to be like that with our resurrected bodies. It's going to be, the principle is that it's the same, but it's going to be transformed. So when we die, when we are raised up with a resurrected body, it's going to be us. It's going to be the same person, but transformed. It's still us, but with a transformed body. You don't put an apple seed into the ground and get a mango tree. So, it's not going to be someone else. So the truth is not such a strange truth. We see it in nature. It's not a strange idea at all. And verse 38 puts it like this. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed, its own body. If you look at the world around us, we see lots of examples. What seed goes into the ground? Apples, mangoes, watermelons, durians, each kind of seed has its own body. There's a diversity of physical forms of bodies of the external packaging. We see it even in the world among creatures, isn't it? There's humans who look like that. There's birds. There's fish. There are tigers. God gives each being a different body, a different packaging, a different skin suit. And it's not just the earthly bodies, it's also the heavenly bodies. If you look up into the sky and you look at the planets, the heavenly bodies, there's the sun, there's the moon, there's stars, there are all kinds of heavenly bodies. And God has given each heavenly body the body that He has chosen for it. So the packaging is different. But it's not just the packaging is different, its splendor is different. If you look at the stars, there are stars that are bigger, brighter, and more glorious. And there are stars that are less shiny, less bright, smaller in size. They vary. They vary not only in their external packaging, they also vary in their splendor, how glorious they look. And that's what, that's what Paul is saying. Have you heard the joke about the Sadducees? It's a lame joke. Don't have to laugh. But let me tell you the joke. Why do the Sadducees always have a long face? They are sad, you see. They are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. They are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus said this. Jesus said, to those who don't believe in the resurrection, they don't understand the scripture and they don't understand God's power. God is powerful. If God has given creatures different kinds of bodies, if God has given the heavenly bodies its different bodies, then of course God can raise the dead and give them resurrected bodies. That is God's power. Resurrected bodies, for God, not a problem. Why can't we just go into God's kingdom, into heaven, like this, with our current bodies? What's wrong with our current bodies? Why do we need a resurrected body? Why can't we just go with our current body? And the answer the Bible gives is that our current physical suit is just too weak. If you look at verses 42, the word perishable is used four times. Perishable in verse 42, 50, 53, 54, it says, our current bodies are perishable. Look at verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Flesh and blood is what we are now. Our current state, our physical being, is perishable. God's kingdom is imperishable. So in our current state, we can't live in God's forever kingdom. Our current state is just too fragile. It's just too weak. I mean, the word perishable means that it doesn't last, isn't it? fruits and vegetables left for a while gets moldy. It just doesn't last. The treads in my car tire wears out. It needs to be changed. It doesn't last. Our current body also grows old. It starts to fail. It doesn't last. And that's why we need a resurrected body. A body that will last forever. In verse 42 and 43, it says that our current body is perishable, dishonorable, and weak. That's what our body is like. Perishable, dishonorable, weak. I think if you go to the hospital, you come face to face with this reality. Deformed bodies, aching limbs, people in pain, broken bones. Our current body is just too weak. We get anxious, we get depressed, insomnia, headaches, diabetes, cancer, mental, physical illness. That's what our frame is like. Confession time. I've always been slim and I've never had a tummy all the years that I've lived, except in the last 2 years. It's so frustrating. You never look in the mirror the same. So sad. The bulge has appeared, folks. Recently, when it's lots of pollen in the air, and I get this headache here, and it's really annoying, painful. And when you're in pain, it's just so frustrating. There's not much you can do. But I want to thank God for Clarentine. What are the things that you face physically, mentally? What are the things that you are facing? That's the reality, isn't it? Our body, our current body is too weak. It is perishable. It is wearing out. Is just too weak. It is not suitable for God's eternal kingdom that lasts forever. That's why we need a new body. So what will our new body look like? In verse 45, it says this, "The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. It's not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man, Jesus, is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those of the dust. As is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven." So there are two orders of people. There are all those who are like Adam. What are we like? We are dusty people. We are people of the dust. Then all those who are in Christ. In Adam, we have a perishable body, a body that wears out, a body that is weak. But in Christ, we will have a resurrected body, a body that will be imperishable. So what will our resurrected bodies be like? It will be patterned after Jesus' resurrected body. Let me read Luke 24, verse 36. When Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your hearts?" And then verse 39. Oops, that's our current body. Verse 39. "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it. Some people think that heaven, we will be like a ghost or a spirit floating around, maybe playing the harp. But that's not the picture of what it's going to be like. Our resurrected body will be physical. It will be real. You can touch it. Jesus told his disciples to touch him and see. Touch him and see. That means they could touch him. They could see him. It was physical. It was real. So you will be able to give your loved ones a hug in heaven. You will be able to hold their hand and to squeeze it. They will have flesh and bones like Jesus did. You will be able to have conversations. You will be able to speak to them. They will be able to speak to you. Jesus said, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself." You're not going to be someone else. Ivan is going to be Ivan. It is I myself. Jesus didn't transform into someone else. He was Jesus. And so all the shared experiences that we have with our brothers and sisters, all the history, all the conversation is going to continue. God is not going to erase our memory and have a blank slate. You are still you. And that relationship is just going to continue on. We will be able to eat for all you foodies out there. Jesus took a broiled fish and he ate it. So in these ways, our resurrected body will be the same. But in other ways, it's going to be different. If you look at verse 42, it says this, "What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." So the difference, what will be the difference? The difference is our resurrected bodies will be imperishable. It will not grow old. It will not wear out. We will be able to live forever in God's kingdom. There will be no more death. There will be no more sickness and disease. No one will be handicapped. There won't be any hospitals. Nurses, doctors, physios, you will have to retrain. I don't know if that's good news or bad news. No more hay fever. Goodbye, Claritin. No more pain. Perfect health. The other day I was watching a movie, I don't know if, it's called Extraordinary Measures. Harrison Ford and Brendan Fraser. Anyone seen Extraordinary Measures? Yeah, I'd never seen it before until I saw it that day either. It's about a story of John Crawley, so it's based on a true story. John Crawley and his wife, they had three kids. Two kids had Pompe disease. I've never heard of Pompe disease.
until I saw the movie. It's a form of muscular dystrophy. So the body can't break down basically glucose. And in the past, there was no treatment for Pompe disease. So children, when you have it young, infants, you progressively grow weaker and you usually die in childbirth out of heart failure. So there was no treatment. And so John Crowley and his wife, the doctor is basically saying, just get ready, your child is going to die, there's no hope. And so they said, are we just going to wait? Then he sees in the daughter's eyes, like she has a fighting spirit, and she says, if my daughter's not going to give up, then we're not going to give up. So they push, they find whoever is doing research in this area, they raise funds, and they help find a cure for this Pompe disease. But when you watch the movie, it's really sad. It's really sad because you see young children dying. And death is like that, isn't it? Death is a cruel enemy. It's an unwanted intruder who knocks on your door. It ends relationships. It causes grief. But as Christians, we have hope. The good news is not just that Jesus has forgiven our sins, it's also that He rose from the dead. And because He rose from the dead, He has defeated death. So we have hope not just for this life, but for all eternity. We know that when Jesus returns, death itself will be destroyed. It will be abolished. When Christ returns, the trumpet will sound. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Jesus' resurrection was the first fruit. And when farmers saw that first fruit, they knew that the full crop was coming. They knew that the rest of the crop was coming. And so Jesus, the fact that He has risen from the dead, for us as Christians, that's our certainty that we too will rise from the dead. It's a guarantee. If Jesus has defeated death, it's a guarantee that we will rise from the grave. It's a guarantee that when He returns, He will put an end to death. He will stamp it out for good. And it is such a certainty that when you read these verses, although it's an event that's in the future, we can speak to death now in the present and taunt death. I don't know if you play sport and your team is really, really, really good. The heavyweight, undefeated champions. And you can taunt the enemy because you know you're going to win. And that's what Paul is doing. He's saying our victory over death is so certain that we can taunt the enemy. You can speak to the enemy. And this is what we speak to the enemy. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? See, the sting of death is our sins. If we died in our sins, we would face God's wrath. We would be separated from ever from God. But if we are in Jesus, because Jesus died for our sins, the sting of death has been removed. So we are not afraid of dying. We know that we will be with Jesus. David Watson, he illustrates what happened when Jesus died. He was at home. He heard his daughter screaming out that she was being chased by a bee. So he ran to his daughter. He wraps his arms around his daughter. Moments later, the daughter feels his body tense up. And then he says to her, "You needn't worry, darling. The bee has stung me, and bees don't sting twice." This is our assurance as Christians. We deserve to be punished for our sins. But instead, Jesus was punished for our sins. It's as if Jesus on the cross wrapped his arms around us. He died and faced the penalty in our place. So we don't have to be afraid. So we don't have to fear. We may still die, but the sting of death has been removed. Isn't this wonderful news? It's so wonderful news that Paul responds to this wonderful news saying, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't this wonderful news, brothers, sisters? Praise God. We share in Jesus' victory. Jesus' victory is our victory. And he gives it to us as a gift by his grace. We often sing the song, "No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me." And this is the hope that we have, that this passage reminds us. The Bible is such an amazing book. It teaches us how to deal with different things. When we did the Psalms, it teaches us to talk to yourself. John, put your hope in God. Soul, why are you downcast? It teaches us to talk to ourselves. Then in this passage, it teaches us to talk to our enemies. It teaches us to talk to sickness and death. When it comes knocking on our door, when it tries to get you to lose your hope in God, you can speak to it. So speak to your enemies. Odette, you don't have the last say. Odette, you can't keep me down. My sins have been washed away. Odette, Christ is victorious, and I share in his victory. So let me summarize what we've looked at in chapter 15. We will be the same person, but we will have transformed. So we will have a resurrected body. What will it be like? It will be like Jesus' resurrected body. As in Adam, in Christ, we were people of the dust. Now we will be people after Christ's resurrected body. When will this happen? It will happen when Jesus returns, when the trumpet sounds, that we will be transformed. Isn't this glorious news? Like Brian mentioned earlier, the two great realities in life, but we already know, like we've already faced death. We know what's behind the grave. Like we don't have to fear death anymore. And this is the hope that we have and that can, yeah, freeze us up from worrying about what will happen. So how can we apply this passage? Let me just quickly suggest a few things. So after that whole passage, he ends off with verse 58. So verse 58 is the application. And the first thing is, be steadfast and immovable. Friends, this is it. Don't move from this gospel message. Hold on to it tight. Stand firm. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Don't move away from this message. It's true. Jesus Christ is a real person who lived in history. He really died. He really rose from the dead. Hundreds of people saw him. Stake your life on this gospel. Don't move away from this gospel. That's the first thing. Be steadfast, immovable. This is true. Secondly, it says, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. So because this gospel is true, we are not wasting our time. We are living, we are serving, we are abounding in the work of the Lord because we know it's not a waste of time. We know that all that we do for the Lord is not wasted. It's not in vain. These things matter. God sees every single thing that we do. Your little act of kindness to the person sitting next to you in school because you are Christian. The words of encouragement that you speak to another person because of your faith. God sees everything. And He says, abound, 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 more and more and more. Because it's true. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, it says this, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is done due him, what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. So we will all appear before Jesus and He will reward us for all that we have done. So it's an encouragement for us to keep going on, to keep working for the Lord, to keep living lives that please Him. It's not a waste. So for those of you who are discouraged or feeling, man, so much, so many things, keep it up. Keep it up because God sees and God will reward you. Third application, in 1 Timothy 4 verse 7 and 8, it says this, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present and the life to come. This bag of bones, this flesh and blood, you may go to the gym every day of your life, but you're still going to die. I mean, not to be pessimistic, I'm just telling you the truth. Unless Jesus comes first. Okay. So, go to the gym, spend time working out on your physical body, but invest in eternity. So, invest in your current body. You want a good shape, so be it. Praise the Lord. But also invest in godliness. Invest in your relationship with God, because that lasts not just for this life, but for all eternity. Do you have a plan and goals for your gym? Well, in the same way, do you have a plan and goals for your spiritual life? Because we've got a bag of bones, and we've got a resurrected body that lives forever. And we need to have a perspective, like an eternal perspective. And finally, the fourth thing. This is good news. Like, we know what's happening. You may have friends in school who are sick. You may have people who are disabled and who will always be disabled. But we have news for them to say that, hey, you know what? When you have a resurrected body, you will be whole. You won't be disabled anymore. We have good news to share. What else can we share with them? If not, they'll be just be disabled for the rest of your life and you die and that's the end. How hopeless and frustrating is that? We have good news to share. We will be in eternity living, running, jumping, skipping, exploring, eating, feasting, laughing. Isn't that good news? And we have this good news to share. So the last thing is, sometimes it's awkward. We're not sure how to share about the hope that we have. Brad Hall is coming to help us. So this is a plug for our Sharing Your Faith workshop. Come and be encouraged and get some tips so that we can engage with our friends not to Bible bash them, but to really share like good news, like this is really good news. So I want to encourage you all, if you would like some tips and hints and encouragement, and just sometimes just even talking about it, you said, oh, you're having the same trouble as well. Me too. Just hearing it sometimes is encouraging, that it's not easy sometimes, but together we can do it and we can pray for each other. So, yeah, put that down in your diaries. So let's pray as we close. Father, we thank you, Lord, for bodies. We thank you for physical bodies, Lord. Thank you that we can touch, that we have senses to feel and to taste. And this is your design, Lord. Father, we praise you for your wisdom. Lord, we are amazed, Lord, that you would create us in a way that we can enjoy the goodness of life, of your creation, the good things that you have given us, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, during this week, Lord, that as we look at creation, we will see your power. We will know that you are powerful, Lord. Father, we pray that you would help us to appreciate, Lord, the way that you have made things. And Father, we also pray, Lord, Father, for this hope for our future that will fill us with great joy, Lord. Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to know how to speak to our enemies, to resist discouragement in our lives, because we know that nothing separates us from your love. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this hope, this certain hope that we have, because Jesus died for our sins, because Jesus rose from the dead, and we will too. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.